I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, most churches see it as their mission to lend a hand to those in need, but what happens when the needy include more and more of their own members? It's part of this week's focus on surviving tough times. But first, a newsmaker interview. New York Governor David Paterson addressed the NAACP yesterday. Paterson is New York's first African-American governor. He is also part of a new generation of African-American political leaders taking the reins of government across the country. But Paterson is no newcomer to politics. He grew up amid a powerful political fraternity in Harlem that included his father, Basil, a former deputy mayor of New York City and former New York Secretary of State, as well as some of the city's best known and most powerful political leaders. Governor Paterson joined us from Cincinnati, where he spoke yesterday to the annual NAACP convention. We caught up with him just after he gave his keynote address, and he told us a little bit about what he said.
I talked about the challenge for America of incorporating African Americans of merit and qualification into our society, that America has a chance to elect an African American president, but it also has a chance to take children who are black and brown, male and female, who are in need and probably have contributions that they could make that will help America in our issues grappling with energy policy, will help America figuring out what our international policy should be in combating terrorism. And these young people can't get the minimum skills and training that would allow them to grow up and help save the country. So my speech was a challenge to America that we now are seeing that people like Barack Obama, who follow in the path of people like W.E.B. Du Bois, one of the founding members of the NAACP, and Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington and A. Philip Randolph and Roy Wilkins, the chair of the NAACP, and that these people had to invest their energy on the abolition of slavery, preempting of segregation, and the establishment of civil rights when they should have been spending their God-given talents finding new inventions for manufacturing, creating new transportation ideas, medical and scientific research, and perhaps nuclear physics. So in other words, we have just wasted so much of our talent, forcing so many African Americans, Hispanics, and women to invest their great ability in trying to make the Constitution valid and the Declaration of Independence read true, than to pursue other avenues that would have had a collective effect on our entire society.
I want to talk more about the substance of what you had to say in a minute, but first I wanted to ask you, as the governor of a multi-ethnic state like New York, and of course all the attention focused on you as only the fourth African-American governor in our history, do you ever feel you have to calibrate your connection to the African-American community in order to avoid seeming too interested in the things that are of particular interest to African-Americans in order to avoid seeming biased, as it were?
I think that a lot of African-Americans who have aspired to leadership levels in government and other entities feel this pressure that if they appear to be too interested in their own neighborhoods, that it is somehow some sort of reverse racism. It is not. It is actually, as American, in its scope, as the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence was itself. Politics is all about coming from your community. People are proud of their communities. They don't forget where they came from. And I think the only way the society is going to change is for people not to be overly chauvinistic, not to put the interest of their neighborhoods first, but to be proud of who they are, what they look like, and what neighborhood they were indigenous.
You mentioned that Senator Obama, who's obviously the presumptive Democratic nominee, he spoke at the NAACP a couple of days ago. And I'm sure you're aware of this whole sort of contretemps between him and Reverend Jesse Jackson, was stirred up by some comments that Reverend Jackson made off mic. But the substance of his remarks, however poorly they may have been expressed, is Reverend Jackson's concern that Senator Obama focuses, or seems in his view, to focus more on sort of moral and personal issues rather than social injustice. Senator Obama responded to that during his NAACP address. I just want to play a short clip for you.
I know there's some who've been saying I've been too tough talking about responsibility. NAACP, I'm here to report. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Because as much as I'm out there fighting to make sure government's doing its job, No matter how much money we invest in our communities, none of it will make a difference, at least not enough of a difference, if we also, at the same time, don't seize more responsibility in our own lives.
Where do you lean in this discussion? The easy answer, of course, is both and. It needs to be both, you know, personal responsibility and sort of government and social responsibility. But do you lean more to one side or the other in this conversation?
I think the great thing about being asked about anything that Senator Barack Obama says is all you have to say is ditto. It wasn't an easy answer for him. What he was saying is that it's a combination, as so many things are. What the media is always looking for is, are we going left? Are we going right? And whenever there's some controversy between two black leaders, this is always the, are you with Jesse? Are you with Barack? Or push on one hand and pull on the other. But the thing is that we shouldn't pity communities for not knowing who their leaders are. We should pity the communities because they need them. The reason that there's been this discussion about whose philosophy is right is because our neighborhoods have been so beset with poor housing and substance abuse and crime and unemployment and underemployment that we had to find someone to speak collectively for the suffering that we all endured. Now, I don't think the substance of what Reverend Jackson said was much better than the expression. The point is that what Senator Obama is saying to America is that I'm going to fight for some of these same programs, but I'm not going to allow people who are the recipients of these programs to walk around without any responsibility. And I think that is really a step toward a new culture and really a higher plane of thinking than we've seen in American government in a long time.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with New York's Governor David Patterson. He's in Cincinnati at the moment, where he spoke to the NAACP, which is holding a convention there. Some people are interpreting this as in part a generational debate between Reverend Jackson and Senator Obama and what they each represent. You're part of the new generation, along with Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, a number of people who are sort of now coming into positions of prominence. Do you see a generational divide? And has that ever played out in your sort of philosophy? I'm wondering if there are ways in which you differ from your dad. Basil Patterson was such an important figure in New York politics, still is.
I don't think that people differ in their ideology. And I think that the experiences that one may have make someone different. I'll give you an example. In 1987, 40th anniversary of the Jackie Robinson's first game playing with the Brooklyn Dodgers on April 15th, ABC Television did a big special on this, on Nightline, I believe. And they had this athlete, Vince Coleman, who was a left fielder for St. Louis Cardinals, and he said Jackie Robinson had no effect on his life. He didn't even understand why we were celebrating it. Well, the interesting thing is it was the work of Jackie Robinson, who was really the first civil rights leader, and then Martin Luther King and all those people who fought in the 60s. They created an environment that allowed Vince Coleman to feel that way. So as ignorant as he is, he couldn't have been ignorant that way in 1947 when he's sitting on the back of the bus. See how old Vince felt if he went to play baseball when he was a kid and they wouldn't even let him play. But what I'm saying is he was in a generation where the perimeters of racism were not as clear as they were in his parents' or my parents' generation. So therefore, when people were talking about accountability in the 60s, and the leaders at that time didn't want to talk about it, it's because they hadn't given us anything yet. How can you demand accountability when you got nothing? And let's just remember that while Barack Obama is running for president and Deval Patrick and David Patterson are serving as governors of two of our states, and there are more African Americans in college now than there have ever been, there are also more people going without food and without shelter in our communities than at any time since the Great Depression. So there is a gap between the haves and the have-nots in our neighborhoods, and we have to make sure that that rising tide is bringing those who have slipped below the poverty line back into some opportunity that can ameliorate those problems.
Speaking of another contentious relationship, being the governor of New York, where your Senator Hillary Clinton was in a hard-fought campaign, do you think that relationship is on the mend? Do you find yourself having to are there lingering feelings about how she did during the primary? And is there some way, do you feel, in the middle?
Well, As in any hard-fought struggle, I mean, we fought hard. I was in Iowa 4 times battling the Obama people, and South Carolina battled them. And then in the end, they won, and we're all Democrats. And the beliefs of Senator Clinton and Senator Obama are very, very close on the major issues. So it wasn't hard for most of us who supported our great senator to recognize that the alternative of the policies of John McCain, not John McCain the human being, but those ways in which he wants to direct policy that we think have already hurt this country, and he's made it very clear he wants to keep doing it. So that would be enough to unite just about anybody. But for those who feel that because of the social inequities that they're going to support John McCain, then go ahead and do it. Maybe he'll win. Look at the Supreme Court justices that he will appoint. We'll see how you feel then.
Finally, another important rivalry. The All-Star game was played at Yankee Stadium Tuesday night. The Yankees are 6 games back in their division, but New York's other team, in my view, the only team, the Mets, only half a game out of first as of right now. Who's got a better chance to win the World Series?
Well, probably the Mets, because the Yankees are behind the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League East, and the Mets are half game behind the Phillies. But you're right. The Mets really are the only team in New York.
Yes. Spoken like a man who knows. New York Governor David Patterson joined us from member station WVXU in Cincinnati, where he addressed the NAACP's annual meeting. Thank you so much, Governor.
Thank you.